This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the BetRivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. It's the Mike Francesa Podcast on the BetRivers Network.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to the Mike Francesa Podcast on the BetRivers Network, brought to you, as always, by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. We now will take a look at the Kentucky Derby, which will be contested tomorrow afternoon, hopefully under clearing skies. There's rain expected today, maybe even a little more overnight, somewhere around half an inch between now and post time tomorrow. Could impact the track some, we'll see. A lot of speed in the race, a lot of horses with wet track pedigrees. We welcome in a familiar name and someone who needs no introduction, one of the America's great handicappers, Brad Thomas. Brad, welcome. How are you?
I'm great, Mike. How are you? Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. All right, let's start with Dornock. Brad, take it away.
Dornock is a horse who was a very, very game and athletic two-year-old. He's a brother of Mage, the Kentucky Derby winner last year, but he's a much different horse. He's a speed horse, whereas Mage did his best work as a deep closer. Dornock, though, has not moved forward at age three. He hasn't grown a whole lot physically. He has a hoof issue, a quarter crack that he's dealing with. There's the old saying, no foot, no horse. And probably because of that, he hasn't really stepped it up. He was not able to get near the lead in the Bluegrass last time. Actually ran a game race through the stretch, but his best game is on the front end. And in this race, he's going to send hard from the one post, a difficult draw, even with the new starting gate in the Kentucky Derby with so many horses outside of you and the tight gap going from the starting gate to the first turn to the actual home stretch. I think he's up against them. I'm going to play against him, but I'm hoping he's a pace presence.
All right. Sierra Leone, Chad Brown, and Peter Brand have a lot of horses. This one is a $2.3 million purchase. It's a gun runner. It's been well meant, and obviously it's a horse to deal with tomorrow.
He met Dornock in the Rumson going a mile and an eighth as a two-year-old. Dornock, though, was much more experienced. He was making his fourth start, Sierra Leone only his second start. The track was super speed favoring that day, but Dornock, even though he was benefiting from that bias, had to duel through very quick fractions. He was under pressure. He was also going fast. Sierra Leone had to overcome a bias, but he was set up pace-wise. They met in the stretch. Sierra Leone was still green. He lugged in. Dornock was able to come again in deep stretch to prevail. Super game win by Dornock. A super green just missed defeat for Sierra Leone. Chad Brown took care of that green this first time out in 2024 with blinkers on the Risen Star. Sierra Leone, since then, has sustained his long runs and finished well right through the wire. He was benefited by pace situations in his two victories this season, going 9 furlongs. At Keeneland as well, he benefited from possibly a track that was kind to closers going 2 turns. He's going to be the best finisher in this race, but he's going to have to deal with 19 horses of traffic to pass. He has an inside draw. It's going to be awfully hard for him to get clear to make that run. If he's in range at the quarter pole, he will probably win. I'm going to play against him getting that trip at a short price. But his jockey, Tyler Gaffleone, is the best in the business at weaving through traffic. He did so in a 10-horse field in the Bluegrass with a beautiful ride splitting horses into the second turn. And just for fun, watch the replay of Churchill Downs, May 1st, race 6, a few days ago. Gaffleone gets up with a grass horse from a seemingly impossible spot, just demonstrating how great he is in traffic. That's Sierra Leone's whole card, is Gaffleone dotting throat.
Beat my horse at Keeneland with his race riding. I mean, Gaffleone is, I think, the most underrated jock in the country.
I think he's the best rider in the country on horses who come from a little bit off the pace, because he always has a plan, he always has a formula, and if something deviates, he's capable of adjusting as well.
No question. Next up, and that horse would do well on an off track. It's bred very well. It's already run on an off track. It's bred for wet tracks. I mean, it's would move up on any kind of off track. Mystic Dan.
Well, Mystic Dan, he will move up more than anybody on an off track, particularly a sealed off track. When he ran in the Southwest two starts back, he just absolutely freaked. This horse's stride on that day was twice as long as it was on dry and harrow tracks previously and thereafter. He had a tough trip in the Arkansas Derby. On a dry harrow track, I don't think he classes up with a field like this, particularly going a mile and a quarter. But if it's wet and sealed, I am certainly using him big time, because that race in the Southwest was an explosion, even though he benefited from a rail bias.
Catching Freedom is next up for Brad Cox.
Incredibly well-bred on both sides for a mile and a quarter, well-bred for development with maturity, been brilliantly handled and managed as he's progressed. He's never run shorter than a mile. He's run twice at Churchill Downs. Both those races very good. The maiden victory in a one-turn mile demonstrated his turn of foot. The two-turn defeat second time out was one that was strictly a matter of an absolutely impossible trip. He's shown this year that he can handle different circumstances, winning at Oaklawn against a very average field, but then running twice at the fairgrounds, being beaten by Sierra Leone and Track Phantom in the Risen Star. But that was a race where the sloppy sealed conditions, I don't think, benefited him as much as they benefited the other two. He had a problem changing leads in that race, something that has plagued him a bit during his career. But I think his inability to do so on that day was even more pronounced. He still ran a good race. What I liked about him, though, in the Louisiana Derby, a race he won without Sierra Leone in there, was he was able to move up on the second turn entirely on his own. In the Risen Star, he was under strong urging to make that move. But I think the Fairgrounds move showed a progression physically and fitness-wise. And I think the stretch out from a mile 3/16 to a mile and a quarter is going to help him. And what we're going to see more and more in the years to come is horses from the Louisiana Derby and from Fairgrounds running great in the Kentucky Derby. Their series of prep races is absolutely ideal. The distance progression, the last one being a mile and 3/16, but then not just a mile and 3/16, but 6 weeks before the Kentucky Derby, 42 days. That is the formula that modern day trainers and veterinarians desire for their horses. That Fairgrounds road gives them the 42 days, also gives the horses a mile and 3/16 race. Catching Freedom is going to benefit from that. Flavian Pratt, his rider, he might be the national version of Tyler Gaffleon, a terrific rider, rides all over the country, and he's in fine form now. He can navigate traffic as well.
Catalytic, lightly raced, and obviously ambitiously placed here.
Well beaten by Fiercest in the Florida Derby, benefiting from a pace scenario that was very, very soft. This horse is getting better. He's lightly raced. Safi Joseph, who had to deal with so much adversity last season at Churchill Downs, I think very unfairly. He has a horse who is a quality animal, but I think this horse lacks experience in two-turn seasoning. He's just not ready to step up right now against a field like this.
The ageless one, Dwayne Lucas with Just Steel.
This horse has ability. He has plenty of foundation. He has plenty of seasoning. He just doesn't run two races alike back to back. He ran very well in the Arkansas Derby behind Bob Baffert's Muth, who would be one of the favorites in this race if the horse was eligible for it. That Arkansas Derby was one that featured and off the pace and outside bias, though. Muth was the only early speed winner out of 13 dirt races. Just Steele benefited from that flow. He was clearly second best to Muth. He was never getting near that horse. Muth was completely destroyed by Fierceness in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile last year. I think Just Steele is unlikely to move forward off that race.
Anna Marie, the runner-up in the Louisiana Derby.
$40,000 yearling purchase, beautifully handled by trainer Whit Beckman, a conditioner of relative youth who is trained under a lot of Hall of Famers, including Dwayne Lucas. Anna Marie has Churchill form, two victories, a very good 7-furlong wet track race where he finished second. That's a big positive. His two races this year have been developmental. He wasn't ready for his best effort in the Risen Star. He still ran okay, galloped out very well in that race. I think you could make a case that a wet seal track is not the ideal condition for him. Hopefully for Anna Marie, it's dry or relatively dry in Harrowed on Saturday. The Louisiana Derby, though, was a big step forward. He moved earlier than Catching Freedom did. Catching Freedom was able to get to him by the eighth pole. They were dueling briefly. It was in doubt for maybe half a second, but Anna Marie was unable to finish with Catching Freedom. Now, I actually see more room for improvement with Anna Marie than with Catching Freedom, because Catching Freedom had more foundation, more distance races, was on a more regular schedule at the time. Anna Marie, I thought, really moved forward in the Louisiana Derby, can really move forward once again. The issue with him, though, is he's not the greatest mover in the world. That's why a horse with his pedigree cost only $40,000. How is he going to match up under big time stress and pressure against these really well-bred, beautifully conformed horses? That's a question. I think he's going to move forward. Is it going to be enough? I don't know, but he's going to be a big price.
Just a touch.
If this race was run in 3 months, this horse might be the best horse. He only has three races. Two of them have been on wet seal tracks. He ran well on those occasions, had no chance in the Gotham from an outside draw. Deterministic, the winner of that race, who ran poorly in the wood, but that's not him. Deterministic is a good horse. He had a really good trip. Just a touch lost too much ground against that rival. I love the way Just a Touch moved forward with distance and on a Harrow track at Keeneland. I thought his stride was much, much better on that Harrow Keeneland track. I thought he was the quintessential dirt mover with the way he powered over the sand and clay without slipping and sliding. That's the key to running well on a true dirt surface. Just a Touch, though, there's not a whole lot of foundation. There's not a whole lot of seasoning. He's being rushed a little bit to get to this race. The workouts have been less intense in preparation for it because his trainer, Brad Cox, who is as good as it gets with horses running consistently well on dirt, Cox recognizes that this horse has done a lot in a short period of time. So it's a matter of holding him together without squeezing the lemon too dry and pushing him over the top. I think it's been a really good training job. I think the horse is doing very, very well at Churchill Downs. But we've talked about the pace in this race. There's going to be front-end pace. There's going to be first-over attackers. And those horses, almost all of them, are of quality. I think the seasoning, the foundation, that's going to get to Just a Touch. I very much fear his talent. But these types of horses seldom win the Derby unless they're absolute superstars like Justify. Just a Touch is good. He's not justified.
All right, here's Mysterious 1 and 2. Two Japanese horses, both undefeated. T.O. Password, Forever Young. We'll take T.O. Password first.
Well, let's dismiss him. He's not good enough. He doesn't have experience. We just knocked Just a Touch for having only three races. T.O. Password only has two, and we have no idea what that competition was. I'm not using him.
How about Forever Young?
Forever Young is a really good horse, but I'm going to give what I believe is the template for Japanese horses winning the Kentucky Derby. They're good enough to do it, but right now the preparation isn't there. I'll gladly take a consultant's check from the Japan Racing Association, and I wouldn't mind a finder's fee from Churchill Downs for recommending the Fairgrounds track, which is owned by Churchill Downs, being a big part of this mix. I say that tongue in cheek.
I know
the
that.
The Japanese, just so everyone knows, the Japanese horses have been chasing the money, going to Saudi Arabia
a lot
and going to Dubai
for
those big races. Okay. And money matters. Yes, it truly does. But if you want to win the Kentucky Derby, you can't take a horse that lives in Japan, fly him to Dubai, or fly him to Saudi Arabia, run a really hard race there, then fly him to Dubai, another totally different environment, run a really hard race there, and then climb all the way to Kentucky for the Kentucky Derby in a relatively short period of time. This horse, I don't think, is doing well in his training. I think it's been too aggressive a campaign. If I had a good Japanese horse, I would run the horse like they've been running their animals at age two, going a distance, running a few times, getting that necessary foundation. But then at age three, I would ship them to the fairgrounds in January on one of the best dirt surfaces in the United States. I would train the horse there to get accustomed to American style training and racing. Maybe I would even go old school and run him in a 6-furlong race in mid-February just to get the feel for the surface and the competition and the style of racing. And then, though, I would only run him one time in a serious spot. I would run him in the Risen Star. Everything on the table there. He gets into the Derby or he doesn't based on that race. A mile and 3/16, 6 weeks of rest afterwards for the Kentucky Derby. That's how I would win the race. Forever Young is good, but I think this is asking too much of him.
Speedy Track Phantom, and one of the many speed horses in this race.
And I think the best one as far as pure front-end speed is concerned. This horse is as honest as they come. Now, the paces of the two races at the fairgrounds, his last two races, Risen Star and Louisiana Derby, on the surface, the fractions seem slow. But the reality is, firstly, those races were very late in the day. Run on surfaces, run at distances, seldom run at the fairgrounds. The pace, as far as I'm concerned, was much quicker in reality than the fractions indicate. Nextly, if you're looking at a daily racing form, between the distance of the race and the fractions, you'll see a symbol there. It's a C for both those races. That's a pretty complex, pretty nuanced, but very effective indicator of what type of styles benefited from the pace flows of those contests. The C means closers benefited by it. And I'll tell you a secret. Most players don't pay attention to those symbols. A lot of people, in fact, most people who work for the daily racing form itself don't understand them or don't pay attention to them. But the people who do benefit from it. Track Phantom was up against it, ran really good in game races. He might have paused for a second in mid-stretch in the Louisiana Derby when the closers came alongside of him. That's why trainer Asmussen is putting blinkers on. That might add even more speed to the mix. He was also against a very strong bias on Louisiana Derby Day. There were no early speed winners out of the five two-turn contests, and the outside was the place to be. So this horse is going to take the field a long way, and this horse is going to fight. And any pace horse, even one that's attacking him first over, is going to have to be ready to deal with him as well as the closers. I think Track Phantom is a horse who's not going to win this race, but he's a horse who's going to have a big effect on the outcome.
This is the kind of horse that is a Derby dream, an $11,000 purchase that's in the Derby, West Saratoga.
And his trainer, Larry Demmer, is an absolutely fantastic story. He is well over 70. He is dealing with a number of very, very serious health issues. He has a great attitude about life, and he's done a fantastic job with this horse. I'm not betting on West Saratoga. He'll probably be in none of my slots, but a part of me will be rooting for him. And if he beats me, I'll rip up my tickets, but still have a smile on my face because this is the type of guy who, like you said, Mike, the $11,000, but also what he's dealing with and the fact that he has a great attitude. I'll root for somebody like this if my horse doesn't win.
That's what horse racing's about. Endlessly trained by Mike McCarthy.
A tremendous trainer, flying under the radar in big race situations. One to always pay attention to on Triple Crown days, on Breeders' Cup weekends. This horse, though, has never raced on dirt. His workouts in preparation for this on dirt have improved without being stellar. But he's a really good turf horse. He's a really good synthetic horse. McCarthy has been reluctant to commit to the Kentucky Derby. I think this is an owner move. I don't see the horse.
Domestic product from Chad Brown.
This is a horse who is very interesting to me. I ultimately did not pick him, but I probably will have a win saver on him. He hasn't gotten pace in his two races this year. He was inside on Holy Ball Day, and I don't think the inside was great at Gulfstream that afternoon, even though Hades, the winner, was inside as well. In the Tampa Bay race, he was in difficult position in traffic for much of the race. Tyler Gaffleon was on for that race as well. Just watch that race and see how game the Mystic Product is. But then again, it's another tutorial of how great Gaffleon is, especially in traffic. You would have seen other riders checking out of there, being uncertain, being indecisive, being fearful. No, he was confident every step of the way. The horse felt that, and the horse was really game and tough. Now, Chad Brown chose not to run Domestic Product subsequent to that race. He's coming into the Derby off an eight-week layoff. Now, the figures are soft, but one of the reasons for that is the slow paces of those races. Another reason is this horse didn't run in late March or April, early April, like so many of the others in here. Most of those horses who were alive in this race moved forward there because they're three-year-olds who are still developing, who are still maturing. If Domestic Product had run, he would have moved forward figure-wise, and you could look at his speed figure pattern and say, this horse is going to move forward again. Instead, Brown has chosen to train him up to this, and that's what Brown does. He's a master off these types of mini layoffs, and this horse has been drilling like clockwork for a master trainer who understands individual athletes. I don't love the post for a Domestic Product. I wish Gaffleon was still on board him. Arad Ortiz is a pretty good replacement, but he's a different type of rider. I can see a wide trip for Domestic Product. That may be tough to overcome, but this horse would not shock me. There's more there than we see on paper. He's a developing talent.
Grand Mo the First.
Another developing talent. I don't think he's good enough to beat this field. I think he's a pure distance horse. In the Florida Derby, he was trying to rally on the second turn behind Fiercest and Catalytic. That was a race in which the pace was really, really soft on the Gulfstream surface, and ralliers were having a very hard time in the contest getting into the mix. He looked absolutely done at the 3/8 pole. For a second, you thought this horse has a chance to finish last. Instead, he continued fighting. He was game. He held third. That bodes well for his future in races at a mile and a quarter or longer, if he ever gets a chance to run in them with the way the game is now. But I don't think he's quick enough on the day to handle this field.
All right, the horse that's going to get the most attention, the Pletcher Rapoli Fierceness, the Florida Derby winner who freaked in the Florida Derby.
He freaked, but most times when horses freak, unless they're secretariat in the Belmont Stakes, most times when they do so, they have some advantages that accentuates the strength of their performance. And that's what Fierceness had that day. He had a really bad field. Such a bad field that if Fierceness wasn't in it, that race would be downgraded, possibly, in the future from a grade one. That's how bad it was. And at the same time, he was superbly ridden by John Velasquez, the veteran Hall of Famer, who incidentally is riding in the greatest form of his career, if you ask me, and has been the best rider in the last 6 weeks in the country on balance, horse for horse, performance for performance. Velasquez popped Fierceness out of the gate, made the lead, toned things down, controlled everything. The horse responded. Ran great, no doubt about it. I thought actually the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, though, last year was a better race, even though it was shorter, because he had to duel with Muth, that Baffert horse who's come back this year to be a dominant winner of the Arkansas Derby. That was a much tougher pace scenario and pace rival for Fierceness than he had to deal with in the Florida Derby. And the speed figures are comparable, and he was also a much younger animal. The thing with Fierceness, though, is can he perform when he's under great stress, going longer, while also dealing with a distance that may not be ideal for him based on the dam side of the pedigree. Those combination of things at a short price with a horse who has never run two great races in a row. That, to me, renders him vulnerable at 9-5, which is the odds I think he's going to be.
Hypothetical here, Brad. If Muth is in the race, where do you put him?
Muth, I probably put Muth fourth.
Okay. All right.
Because I he has improved. The Arkansas race was one in which he had to overcome a bias, but I think the pace will get really, really hot, and I think Fierceness is a better horse than he is still.
All right, Stronghold.
Stronghold to me is a throwout. I don't like the California horses he's been running against. They're Baffert's second and third stringers. He lost once. He was all out to win another time. He got good trips on both occasions, relatively speaking. I don't think he matches up, particularly from an outside draw, with this field.
Resilience, put blinkers on, won the Wood Memorial, got things his own way. How about his performance?
Well, he got a good inside trip before coming on the stretch to mount his winning rally. Did improve with blinkers, has paired up speed figures, has a pedigree that says he can move forward. But I think the post position really, really hurts him. He needs to be close, get in rhythm easily, and then pounce. I don't think that's going to happen from the straw. He's going to be too wide. He's not going to get the position he wants. And I don't love him going the extra distance. I think a mile and an eighth is what hits him between the eyes.
I don't think Dandy Goggin thought Society Man was going to be in the Derby. He is in the Derby because he ran second to Resilience in the Wood at 106-1. That gets him a trip to the Derby. How about Society Man?
I don't like him to win. I will use him third or fourth underneath because I think this horse wants to run long. I think he'll grind. He has Dettori on board, who's been riding great, another senior citizen jockey who's been far exceeding reasonable expectations for performance at this stage of his career. In fact, he was going to retire, and he's going so well. He said, no, I'm not retiring. I'm going to make more money. But he fits this horse because he's going to save ground. He's going to move aggressively when he does move, and the horse does want to run. If the pace gets fast, does want to run long. If the pace gets fast, this horse can fill out a trifecta or superfecta at a big price.
All right, Encino Scratched, Epic Ride.
An interesting horse. His ability to run on synthetic and on dirt, his ability to run short and long, his ability to have speed going short and set off the pace going long. I'd love to own him, but the fact that he was not able to finish with Sierra Leone in just a touch in the Bluegrass, despite a reasonable trip, it was a forward-moving race, but it also shows the gap between him and the top contenders in here. When you combine that with his outside draw, he's not a use for me.
I agree. All right, what's your thought here? Most likely winner is?
I'm going to say Catching Freedom with the coda that maybe Fierceness, maybe Sierra Leone are very close to him, if not slightly more likely, but his price is going to be much, much bigger. Between Fierceness and Sierra Leone, I don't think Sierra Leone is going to win. I think he's going to run good, but I think the traffic is going to get to him. I think that I don't love the way this horse moves either. I think that could become an issue under great stress. Fierceness is going to win or probably finish no higher than third or fourth, but his best race certainly can win this. His post position is as good as it can be for his style in a field with this type of pace context, and he has a fantastic rider for the trip. Velasquez is going to pop him out of the gate and ride aggressively for the first eighth of a mile. There's a long run to the first turn. Velasquez is going to be sure he clears the deadwood, and then he's going to come over and get good striking position. So if Fierceness has his good day, he's probably slightly the likeliest winner, even with the pace scenario. But Catching Freedom is right there with him. He's a pure distance horse who's going to get pace, and his odds are going to be vastly higher.
Can Fierceness win this if he gets shuffled back to fourth or fifth?
No. Not that I have not seen anything to me that indicates that. All three of his powerful performances have been perfect striking position. I have not seen this horse react well to stress.
And who's your long shot closer who could make it bombs away?
Anna Marie and Domestic Product are horses who I am using big time in trifectas. After that, I really don't have anybody. I think this is a race where there's only a few horses who can win. There's only like six or seven horses at most who can win this race. And there's not many more who can be involved in the gimmicks. So Anna Marie, I think, is a viable saver bet at 18 to 1 or more. Domestic product at 23 to 1 or more. I think they're going to be kind of right on that number. They're the ones who could be the big bombs.
Can you see any possible scenario where we don't get a very, very quick pace in this race?
You would like to say no. If it was 20 years ago or 30 years ago, you could definitively
say no. There's a lot of
no.
speed in this
but
race.
This game has evolved to the point where all the owners are really looking at the PPs, all the trainers are, all the jockeys are, and sometimes you think there's guaranteed to be a fast pace, but then everybody has in their mind, well, we're not going to go fast. We're going to try to sit in the perfect striking position. That said, I think the thing that helps a fast pace possibility here is the fact that Track Phantom is committed to the front end with blinkers on. And even other horses who are not committed front runners are horses who need to be in the mix to run their best races. It's been proven through the years that if you are close early and are good enough in the Derby, it's good to utilize that position because of the traffic issues for the horses coming further back. I think if the pace is not blazing for a quarter or for a half, it's certainly going to pick up for the third quarter and then deep into the second turn. And I think that will help the closers enough to get them home.
All right. My biggest fear in this race from a handicapping standpoint, Brad, is the fact that there's almost a guaranteed sealed track. And that could impact this track dramatically tomorrow. How likely does the sealed track play into the decision?
Well, I don't know. Perhaps you've seen the forecast that I haven't. The forecast I saw was that it's going to stop raining by the morning.
Today. Probably a little rain overnight, probably right. 0.6 inches by tomorrow morning. So you know they'll seal it when they leave tonight. How much right. will that impact it if we don't get much rain tomorrow?
If there, that track, I guarantee you, will be harrowed.
No question.
Unless there's a big thunderstorm 3 o'clock or later in the afternoon on Saturday. They will do everything they can to harrow it. Now, it's still going to be wet, but it's going to be wet, fast, or good and harrowed. The most important way of separating track condition is harrowed or sealed. Moisture level comes after that. Sealed, that will change everything. If we get that storm at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, yes, it's going to change things. But the forecast I saw, we're not. They will harrow it, and we will get a truly run race.
And what do you think of the overall quality of the race?
I think it's average at best. Fierceness on his best day, you could say, could be a brilliant horse. Nobody else is brilliant from what I've seen. It makes it really competitive and good from a betting standpoint, but it makes it very, very average from a historical perspective.
And by the time we hit,
you never know for sure until a year after the race how good it truly is.
By the time we hit the Travers, who's the best horse in this race?
Well, I'll tell you, the best horse will be Tuscan Gold, who will be a handful in the Preakness. He was third in the Louisiana Derby with a very, very tough trip and ran tremendously. I think he has a great chance to be the best horse in 2 weeks and in 2 or 3 months. After him, Just a Touch, if this experience doesn't hurt him in the long run, being rushed into this race, if he's able to deal with it, get out of this race, and then continue to move forward, the actual horses in this race, he might be the best. I love the way he moves on dry dirt. Watch his stride. That's the type of horse to buy in a two-year-old sale if you want a dirt horse, the way this horse moves.
Thanks, Brad, very much. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Brad Thomas. So again, Catching Freedom, his most likely winner. Sierra Leone and Fierceness, who will both be short prices. Use them second and third. And then he's got his two long shot closes in Anna Marie and Domestic Product, who should both be somewhere between 15 and 25 to 1. And, you know, the Derby is a great betting race because you do get long shots into the equation. Plus, any wager you make will be a good exotic. The exotics are very generous, and that's what makes the, there's so much money bet into this race that doesn't know what it's doing. So it's so unusual for a race. Most races, the people betting into the race know what they're doing, and they don't let you get away with easy prices. In the Derby, you get easy prices. So exactors that should pay nothing pay a lot, and exactors that should pay well pay exorbitant prices. So that's why it's always the best betting race of the year. I don't think it, hands down, you got the full field. You got a lot of long shots that want to close in that long Kentucky Derby Churchill Downs stretch. And you have a full field where people are going to get in trouble. People are going to get banged around. And it can lead to crazy finishes. So many times I have had a figure horse on top, one of the top three favorites on top, and then hit it exactly where the horse to finish second. A lot of times it was Dallas Stewart, would be 40 or 50 to 1. And that's what really makes these races very, very, very good as far as a betting standpoint. There's no better value in a year than to wager on the Derby, especially wagering into the Derby exactas, triples, superfectas, stuff like that, because the payoffs are really generous to a fault, without any question, because, you know, it's such a big field, and racing luck is always going to play a part in this. You can get sawed off early and just, you know, you could be flying and you get pushed wide, you get knocked sideways. So many things can happen in this, you know, very large field. They won't ever see this kind of field again. No one ever runs this many horses, except for the Derby, because everybody wants to run the Derby. That's why you have to, you know, get points to get into the race, because everybody would put their horses in the Derby if they could. There'd be a lot of donkeys, you know, in the race because they just want to take a shot. They want to show up. They want to wear their nice clothes. They want to have a mint julep, and they want to, you know, root for their horse, even if he has no chance. Now, you got Brad's stuff. I will put my first three finishes and what I'm thinking about the race on the Bet Rivers app by this evening. I want to see what the track does today. I want to see till 4 or 5 today how much rain they get there, how the track's playing, what the forecast is later in the day, and then I will put my picks up later today on the Bet Rivers app. They'll be there. We will also preview the Knicks. I don't have the odds yet. The Knicks are going to play Monday, Wednesday at the Garden, Friday in Indianapolis, and the Rangers are going to play on Sunday to open their series. The Rangers have home ice. They are underdogs, slightly under 7-5 underdogs in the series. And believe it or not, the Hurricanes are still favored to win the whole thing. And they are getting 136 for 100. So it's almost 7-5. They are favored to win the series, even though, and I have to tell you, the hockey people I've talked to, almost all of them like Carolina. Almost all of them like Carolina. So there's a lot there. And the Rangers, who despite the season they had, on not getting the total respect, can they use that a little bit? Hey, why not? Use anything you can get your hands on in what should be a tremendous series. Knicks will be favored. They have the extra game at home. They're the better team. Not that Indiana won't pose some issues. They will. We'll analyze that later on. We'll have that for you because game one is until Monday, so we have time on that. And I haven't seen the odds yet, but I'm sure the Knicks will be favored in the series. We'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to the Mike Francesa podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.